thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit. You are the teacher. And so I humble myself before you. I submit to you. And I ask you to teach through me. You have the words of life. And so that's what we want to hear this morning. When nobody wants to hear my opinion, Lord, they want to hear words of life and wisdom and revelation. So I ask that you would speak those words this morning through me. I receive it as done through the power of Jesus Christ in me. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Bill, I thought you were going to... Can I send you upstairs? Sorry.
Yes, I need a little bit more light. I can see, sort of. I even made the font bigger, so I wouldn't have to keep putting my glasses on and off today. But okay, so we are going to look at a portion of Scripture a little different way than I usually teach, but we want to turn to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 1 to 10. I looked at this portion, you know, this is where our memory verse is, in verse 10, and so I was looking at this a few weeks ago, and I think I shared maybe something from it for offering. But this just something in this portion of Scripture, and I do not have, good, thank you. I do not have the whole grasp of it, and so that's why I'm asking that the Holy Spirit would speak to you this morning, and you would hear the Holy Spirit speak words of life, what you need to hear from this portion of Scripture this morning, because this is a portion of, you know, And these scriptures in here, as we go through it, there's going to be several that some of you, oh yeah, I know that. But we don't know it. It's so much in our head, but it's not in our heart. So we're not experiencing what is in this portion of Scripture. And then when we have the understanding and experiencing what is in it, it's going to be, you know, people are going to just walk by you and know that you're different. They're just because of the power that's in this portion of Scripture. So, first time I'm going to just read it through New King James, and then we're going to go back and look at it verse by verse in another version, okay? So, Ephesians chapter 2, starting verse 1, I'm going to read it in the New King James. And it says, "And you he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind," interesting, "and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." Praise God. So now I want to go back. And I'm going to be using the New Living Translation and go back and look at this again and see what we can pull out of it. And once again, Holy Spirit, I ask that you would open our eyes, open our ears, open our hearts, give us understanding of what you are speaking in this portion of Scripture this morning, because I know that it will change our lives as we, the more we get a hold of this. I thank you for it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise God. So let's go back again in starting in verse 1 and reading in the New Living Translation. Going to read the first three verses. It says, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else." So in other words, what these first three verses are talking about are people that are not born again. Now the problem is, if you look at this and you can see anything that's still in your life, that's an issue. And if you can see that it's, you're still running your life and you're still deciding what to do, when to do, how to do it, whether you want to do it or not, it has nothing, you know, if God fits in the picture as, you know, it's convenient when I need something, then, you know, then God's in the picture. But other than that, you know, it's just, I'm doing what I want to do. If that's how you're living your life, the first question you need to ask yourself is, am I born again? Because according to this scripture, our lives should not be like this anymore. When we are born again, our motivation, our hearts, what's in us should change. And as we go through this, we're going to see, because how do I know that? Because the word says so, okay? Okay, so that's the first thing. But then verse 4. In this verse 4, you know, I think about it, I meditate on it, but it's just like there is so much just in verse 4 that if we can get more a bigger grasp and more understanding on this, this is to me, it just would totally change how we live our lives. In verse 4, he says, "But God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much." The Amplified Version says it this way, "But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us." Mentally, we cannot understand that. We cannot grasp that. You know, if you grew up and you came from parents who you were the apple of their eye and they loved you, and they loved you in a healthy way, you know, you are so blessed. You know, if you have been surrounded and supported by people who loved you, and there was no controlling, there was no manipulation, there was no, you know, agenda, it was just pure, you know, pure unconditional love. If that's how you were raised, you are so blessed. Because most of us weren't raised that way. So for us to understand this verse, it's not that simple. It sounds good, and we know it's true. The word says it's true, so we know it's true. But it's we have this distorted view of God. We have this distorted view of how much he loves us and what this verse actually means, because our only experience and our experience is what is in our heart. You know, how we were treated, that's what we've internalized, that's what's in our heart. So we look at God through whatever is on the inside of us. Now, we can be born again a long time and we can have some changes, or we can be born again a long time and still have a religious view of God. We can think that God's gonna get us. We mess up, God's gonna get us, or we're gonna have to pay, or if we do this, then Satan's gonna get us. You know, it's all distorted. It's all a religious view of God. Until we know that we know that we know that we know that we know, 24 hours a day, in the middle of the night, when things go wrong, when things go right, we know that we know that we know that God loves us no matter what. God is good. God is always good. That's all. God cannot do anything but good. God cannot operate in any way but love. Until we get to that point, we still have some effort. You know, we work as in not works, but work as in changing our understanding of who God is. Because of it's that love. It's that mercy. What it says in, if you look in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance." It's not that, you know, God's going to get you. You better repent. You know, you're going to pay for this. That's not what leads us to repentance. It's knowing the goodness. It's knowing the love. It's knowing the mercy. It's knowing the grace. That's what draws us to God. And that's what's going to draw anybody else to God. You know, Loretta had Facebook messaged you, right? And said about, she gave the testimony last week about the going before the, whatever that was called, that forum, candidate forum. And she talked about, you know, sharing that she was a Christian, so she had someone else say to her, whether, you know, contacted her in some way and said, you know, they didn't know if they could vote for her because she was a Christian. And because if she's a Christian, then she probably, you know, that would be, you know. But the sad thing is, that's what the church has put out there. That we are judgmental, that we are self-righteous, that if you don't do it our way, then God's going to get you, or God doesn't like you, and God hates you, and you're going to pay for it. We've done it. Most of the persecution in America, we have brought on ourselves. Because we're not experiencing, we're not walking, we're not living in the love of God. The love that he loves everybody. Do you realize that? He loves everybody that's ever lived. Why? He created them. Why would you create something that you hate? Why would you create something and then make them pay? That's just stupid. But we look at it, God loves us, but he doesn't love them. Because we do everything right, so we're okay. But them out there, nah, they're the bad ones. Love, we've got to get a hold of this. If we want to influence the world, we need to get a hold of the love of God. It all comes down to love. And it's not the love. And it's not the, oh, I love you. Oh, you're so nice. It's not the, you know, stab them in the back. Say something to their face and stab them in the back. Well, the church is very good at that. No, love is no matter what. Love is you're valuable. I may not like what you're doing. I may not understand where you're coming from, but you have value. How do I know you have value? Because God says you have value. You are valuable and precious. I may not like you. I may even not be able to stand you, but God says you're valuable and precious. So that's how I'm going to choose to look at you. That's how I'm going to choose to treat you. And how can I treat you well when I don't like you? It's because the love of God flows through me and changes the way I look at you, and I can look at you as being valuable and precious. You can't love people if you don't understand and have the love of God in you. And the love of God is, if you are born again, the love of God is in you because Christ in you, the hope of glory. God is love. If God is love, that's what I was going to do. I forgot all about. I was going to put up here an equation. Because God is love, you know, I'm in God, so I am love. You are love. Whether you act like it at all, you are still love. Because Christ is in you, you are in Christ, God is love. Jesus is love, so you are love. But we don't tap into it. We go back to those first three verses. I don't like you, so I'm going to treat you like this. Or I don't approve of what you're doing, so I'm going to treat you like this. Or I'm better than you. I may not say it, but anytime I'm a Christian, so I'm superior to you because you're even in the church. The judgmental attitude in the church because someone is in sin. How many churches kick people out because they're in sin? What good does that do? What scripture do we have to base that one on? And we have had people do, you know, come to us over the years and say, blah, 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 they're doing this. They should not be coming to church. Well, if they don't come to church, how in the world are they ever going to change their lives? So no matter what sin anybody may be committing, as far as we're concerned, it's between them and God. Now, you understand wisdom, you know, you understand wisdom. But no, I'm going to decide. See, I decided this a few years ago. You know, and people come to me and say, you need to deal with this person. No. Your sin's between you and God. Your life is between you and God. My function is not to get you straightened out between you and God. You know, over the years, we've had, Wayne and I can still remember one incident. Years ago, the old building, there was a lady who was, I think she was maybe an usher. I don't remember. But we had lady ushers. And so someone came to him. I don't remember who it was, but someone came to him and said, you know, she's dressing rather inappropriately. Her skirt's kind of short. Yeah. You need to talk to her. And this has happened to both of us, you know, for various reasons. I had one for another reason. That, you know, so what do? You know, we think, well, we have to go talk to these people. So what happens? Go talk to those people. They get mad at you. They leave. The other people that brought it to you, they leave. You know, you can't win. So anymore, if you know someone's in sin in this congregation, you pray about it. If it's your issue, if you really can't stand it, then you go to them and you talk to them about it. Because it's not likely we're going to. Because your sin, your life, is between you and God. The love of God. And it's not saying, anybody that knows me, that does not mean I say sin is okay. Sin will kill you. Sin will do nothing but bring pain into your life. But God is the only one that's going to stop you from sinning, you know. It's your relationship with God. It's understanding the love of God. Because when we know someone loves, how many has someone in their life that you know they love you? Just raise your hand. It's not a trick question. Yeah. So at least part of you do. Well, when you know someone loves you, If you're healthy, I mean, if you're warped in some way, then this may not be true. But if you're relatively healthy, emotionally, mentally, when you know someone loves you, you don't want to do things to hurt them. And like I said, if you're kind of warped, you may do it anyway, but, you know, I know Wayne loves me. So I don't want to do anything to hurt him. I don't want to on purpose do anything to cause him pain. Isn't that true in your life? Do you try to hurt the people that you know love you? That would be stupid, right? I mean, that's just, don't you think God's smarter than we are? Some of you may not. Some of you, yeah. But for some of us, yes, we know, experience has shown us God is smarter than we are. Okay, the love of God. God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much. That word, rich, wealthy, abounding. So he's abounding in mercy. And mercy is kindness or goodwill towards the miserable and afflicted. How many of you are the miserable and afflicted? You know, if you're honest with yourself, if you're not today, you were just recently. In some way, you were miserable or afflicted, other than Doreen. But the rest of us. But the rest of us, in some way, there was something in our life that made us miserable or afflicted. It may have been for a short period of time, and hopefully it's getting shorter. But for kindness of those towards the miserable and afflicted, joined with the desire to help them. So it's God has kindness towards us, and he wants to help us. And we have got to get a hold of that. We have got to get it not just in our head, but in our heart. Because when you get a hold of that, then you decide, you know what? I don't want to run my life anymore. I just keep screwing it up. You know, and what I'm doing is not working. It's not giving me the desired results. So I am going to go to the one who I know loves me, who I know wants only the best for me, and I'm going to start talking to him about how I run my life instead of me deciding how to run my life. If you haven't done it yet, all you've got ahead of you is pain. You know, I made this decision many years ago now, and it was because I was at the bottom. I was falling apart. And that's when I turned my life over to God, and ever since then, it's been, 25 years ago? No, 25? 25 to 30 years ago? Something like that. In my life, have I arrived? No. But my life, I'm still here. I'm sane. I'm healthy. And if I had been living my life the way I was and I was running things, I would have been sick, possibly dead by now. And I'm not, that's just truth. Because I was sane, but I was screwed up. Anybody ever been there? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, you know, in the love of God, we're born again, but you realize we receive the love of God. It's a spirit thing. You know, when we're born again, our spirits are made brand new, nothing else. Wayne was reading this morning, I just noticed this scripture. In Galatians chapter 5, he says, and those who are Christ, I'm going to hang on to that scripture. Sorry, I got ahead of myself. So let's go back to the Ephesians chapter 3, verses 16, and this is in the middle of the prayer. So this is how I know that even though our spirits are full of the love of God, this is how I know that we need to work on getting it through our soul and body. He says, and that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. You have to be believing to have this happen, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. This is one of those prayers, you know, we should be praying for ourselves, we should be praying for each other, because this is what it comes down to, is knowing the love of God, experiencing the love of God, understanding the love of God. That's what changes our life. It's easy to say, yes, I know, God loves me. Yeah, Jesus loves me, this I know. but we don't. Or we may, you know, I know for myself, I have made progress. I have more understanding than I did 10 years ago, but I am still not experiencing the love of God. And everything, all the success that God has for us, all the blessings that God has for us, the root of that is understanding and experiencing His love. So it's a very important thing. You know, I don't like dealing with symptom stuff anymore. That's why, you know, I don't mess with people's sin. Because sin is a symptom. It's not, you know, if I want to help someone, I want to go to the root. You know, deal with the root. Because when the root is changed, you know, then everything else is changed. And so that's what, you know, Wayne was talking about meditation the past couple weeks. That's a way to change the root. You know, and if the root is changed, then the fruit changes. We don't have to work at the fruit of the Spirit. I don't have to try to be kind. Now, I should, if that's what I have to do. You know, I should practice, you know. But, you know, when my heart is changed by experiencing the love of God, then automatically the fruit, automatically I'm kind. Automatically all those, I'm long-suffering, you know. I put up with people. Those that I love, you know, I show my love more. Those that I like, you know, I show it more. And those that I don't like, I can still tolerate them if nothing else. I can still see how much God has, you know, sees in their lives, okay? God. Okay. Verse 5. Back to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5. It says that even though we were dead because of our sins, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you have been saved. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, I have been crucified with Christ. It says in verse 5, it said there, He gave us life when He raised Christ from the dead. It's something else we need to get a hold of. I have been crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness, if righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died in vain. There's something else we need to get a hold of is the old me is dead. Whatever I did before I was born again is gone. Whatever I did yesterday, contrary to the word of God, is gone. Whatever I did 5 minutes ago, according, you know, that was contrary to the word of God, is gone because I have been crucified. The old me is dead. It's over. What does He say? His mercies is renewed every day. I am new, and I am always, it's always now in Christ, and so things are always new. But we need to recognize the old me is dead. I don't have to fix the old me. I don't have to deal with the old me because that's not who I am anymore. You know, if I was a liar in the past, I am not a liar anymore. Do I still lie? Possibly, but that's not who I am. I am a truth person. I am an honest person because I am in Christ. Christ is honest, so I'm honest. And I am a lover because of Jesus, because Christ is in me. I am not a hater. You are not a hater. Oh, I don't care. I don't care what your political persuasion is, you know. In America today is so full of hate. That's really solving a whole lot, isn't it? And it doesn't matter what side you're on. All there is so much hate. So what do we do? Number one, don't listen to it. Don't watch it. If it stirs up anger in you, then don't pay attention to it. The only way to change things, change people, change the world, comes back to the love of God. Love of God. And that's scripture, right? Love the Lord with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. So it's love of God, love me, love you. And we try to love you without having the love of God or loving me. It doesn't work. Or even loving me without the love of God, without loving you, it doesn't work. It has to start. Love of God, love me, love you, and then it's easy. Okay. Verse 6. For He raised us from the dead along with Christ. So, you know, when Jesus was crucified, we were crucified. When Jesus was raised from the dead, we were raised from the dead. But God is always now. So if you can grasp your head around this, Jesus was crucified, what, 2,000 years ago? But Jesus is crucified right now. I am being crucified with him right now. That's why I said whatever I did 5 minutes ago is gone, because he's being crucified right now. Because there is no, in eternity, there's no time. It's always now. So I am being raised with him right now. So if you have a sin issue that you're dealing with, recognize, no, I'm being crucified right now. All of that is being killed off. And the new me is coming alive again. We have the past is gone. The newness has come. In verse 6, he says, "For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus." If you go back to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19, it says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of," and this is the middle of another prayer that Paul was praying, another great prayer for you to pray for yourself or for someone else. "What is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come." So in verse 6, we see that he raised Jesus from the dead. He raised us with him and seated him in the heavenly realms. We see back, if we go back to Ephesians chapter 1, we see we're seated in heavenly places. Yeah, well, that sounds good. You're at whoop-de-doo. Now, it's something else we need to meditate on and get a hold of, because seated in heavenly places, one of the things it says, far above principalities and powers. You know, it's that issue, and you know, it's one of my pet peeves is, you know, well, Satan's coming this way, and Satan's coming that, and I got to deal with Satan. Well, right here it says no. Right, say we're up there. Satan may still be down here, but I'm up here. Satan is not my problem. Satan is not your problem. If things are going wrong in your life, don't look out there. Look in here. God is the answer. Focus on the solution. Don't focus on anything else. Only focus on the solution. Because if you focus on your problems get bigger, the solution gets smaller. God is the only answer. Jesus is the only one that's going to fix anything in your life. You know, you may, well, I can fix this. Yeah, but temporary. You know, next week, next month, next year, you're going to be going through the same thing again or something similar. So we're better off focusing on the inside, focusing on Jesus, and solving the root. Heavenly places. So if we're in heavenly places, we're back to righteousness. Righteousness is life as it should be. So what is our life supposed to be like? What are we supposed to be experiencing if we're living in the love of God? Peace, joy, victory, prosperity, health, healing. Is there any bad things among it? No. Only good. All the promises of God are yes. Amen. And then verse 7, so God can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. So in other words, we're supposed to be examples of the goodness of God. That's what the world is supposed to be seeing. They're supposed to be wanting to be a child of God because they see how good it is to be a child of God. I mean, Judges. I just started Judges in part of my daily reading. And, you know, reading where when they crossed the Jordan River, and he talks about when they crossed the Jordan River, you know, the Ark of the Covenant was out there first, and the Jordan River became like a wall. And they went across on dry land. But then it says a little bit later, you know, because that's after first he sends out the spies, and they go to Jericho, and they see Rahab and talk to Rahab, and Rahab says, you know, we heard about all those things that God did, so we're scared of you, man. We're just, you know. And so now they're crossing the Jordan River, and they're going through this, and it says in the verse right in the middle of that, it says, They were across from Jericho. So here you are in the city of Jericho, and you look out your window, and there you see them coming, but they're not coming on boats. They're not swimming across. You see this wall of water, and they're walking across on dry land. We serve the same God. When's the last time you saw a wall of water? We're ground level or below is where we live most of the time. God is up here. Heavenly places, that's where we're supposed to be. But we haven't, it's hard for us to even believe that I can be healed of something. And yet, what did they do? All they did was believed God, they obeyed God, and these things happened. But it's never going to happen for us until we change how we look at God and see, okay, if I need to walk on water, I will. Anything ever think about that? If I need to cross the Mohawk and I don't have any other way to get there, God, you did it before, you did it twice. If you did it twice in the past, you can do it again. Make a wall of water so I can walk across. And you think, no, that's silly. That's our problem. We either don't believe the Bible or we don't think that we serve a different God. We serve a diminished God or something. I don't know what we think. It's a whole lot of religious teaching, a whole lot of diminished. There's a whole lot of reasons why, but we need to get, because in the times that we're coming into, they haven't started already, there will be miracles. In the book of Revelation, it talks about there's miracles, and it's not Christians that do them. And so we need to know whether it's God or not. We will be seeing miracles again, and it will not be by Christians. It will be non-Christians performing miracles. And where does the power come from? It comes from God. But there is that much power that God put in that if you are a non-Christian and you tap into that power, you can perform a miracle. How could that be? Because God loves people. People get healed. You read some of the stuff that I have read. People are getting healed all the time. It has absolutely nothing to do with God. They use energy medicine, which is a totally different topic, different subject. They've learned how to tap in to the healing power of God without even knowing it's God. I was wishing I could watch the show. We were waiting in the to see one of his doctors the other day, and there was the TV was in the other room, and it was a history channel, and all I could hear was bits and pieces, and they were talking about I think it was the pyramids. I think that's what it was. Anybody know, just out of curiosity, anybody here know when the pyramids were built, when the Israelites were their slaves? Is there any correlation? Anybody have any idea if there was correlation between the time of the Israelites being their slaves and the pyramids being built? Anybody? No, I don't know either. If you find out, let me know. But anyhow, I'm hearing these bits and pieces, and so they're talking about the pyramids and the size of the rocks and all this stuff. And you know what? The only conclusion that someone came up with, that it was beings from outer space. And when I heard that, I recognized it was the power of God. See, back then, they knew how to tap into the power of God. And it would not surprise me, because they were saying something about, you would have to almost levitate these stones to get in place. Do you know that's possible? If you're tapping in the power of God? Technically, Jesus was levitating when he walked on water. He was on top. I'm blowing your brains this morning, aren't I? Wayne says, I make you think. Don't do that. See, we have got this religious connotation of God, and we have this little box, and this is the only way that God can work, and if he doesn't work our way, Well, I will just do a little commercial now. Starting next week, Wayne and I have been listening to a series on Beyond Lack by Dr. James Richards, and it's one of those series, we showed you the faith one last year,
And it's one of those series that it is so good. He teaches it so much better than we do. And you guys need to hear it. So for November and the beginning of December, we're going to have video church. So we'll have a service, but we will have a video speaker. Okay? So just it's good. And there's some of the stuff, why I brought it up is because some of the stuff he shares, it's going to shake you. Because you're going to say, yeah, we need to change our thinking. The way it's been doing now is so boring and it's not working, so we better open our hearts to what God's actually doing. Amen? Okie doke. What scripture did we get down to? Did that. Verse 7, right? So, yeah, okay, so we did verse 7. Okay, verse 8. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. The Amplified says it this way, and this salvation is not of yourselves, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Why do we think, we think, yes, when I got born again, it was all God. I had nothing to do with it. You know, and his grace gave you the ability to actually get saved. We can't even take credit for that. But why do we think, as you know, Wayne was in the book of Galatians, and he was referring to, because that's what happened to the Galatian church, is they got born again, but then they were back to, and the same thing that most of the church does today, is they went back to, I've got to do stuff to keep my salvation. I've got to do stuff to get close to God. I have to read my Bible. I have to pray. I have to be nice to people. You know, I have to give my tithe. I have to do this. I have to do that. And this is just too hard, or I don't like to do this. I have to witness, you know, and I have to do this. And so what happens? We get frustrated. We get bored. We get miserable. We give up and say, it's too hard. The Word of God says the yoke is easy. The burden is light. So if your Christian life is hard, you have not tapped into the love of God, because when you are having a relationship with someone who loves you and you love them, life is easy. And you can put up with a whole lot when you know someone loves you and you love them. It doesn't matter what's going on around. You know, how many couples started out, you know, and you hear stories about, you know, people that have been married a long time. And they started out in their first apartment, you know, they may not have had running water or, you know, this didn't work and that didn't work. But it didn't matter because we had love. It should be the same thing with our relationship with God. And when you're tapped into the love of God, you can have everything imaginable going wrong, and it's still okay. Because I know the one who has the answer, and this is temporary, and someone that loves me, he's going to provide the answer. Church should not be boring. Okay, where are we at? Verse 9, salvation is not a reward for good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. It's simply because he loves me, simply because he loved you. Why are you here today? Because God loves you, because he sees you as valuable. He has great plans for you. He has a phenomenal destiny for you. I don't care how old you are, how young you are. Your life is not over. Your life should just keep getting better and better and better. At almost 65 years old, my life is a whole lot better than it was 10, 15, 20, 25, 30 years ago. And that's how it should be. If your life doesn't, you know, it doesn't mean that nothing's going to go wrong again, but your life should just keep getting better and better. The more, you know, because we're experiencing God's love, and it's just, things are good. You know, the birds are singing, and the butterflies, you know, whatever your image wants to be, or you're laying on a beach with palm trees, whatever, you know, whatever works for you. The Amplified said it this way, not because of works.
not the fulfillment of the law's demands. And under the law, see, that's the whole thing. We're so tied into the Old Testament. We're so tied into the law. And I've got to do stuff. Because under the law, they had to do stuff. And if they didn't get it all right, then they had to pay the consequences. But we're not under the law. We're under, we don't deserve the wonderful time we're living in. But we should at least take advantage of it and enjoy it, experience it. It's not what, he loves you no matter what. No, you can screw up. You can commit every sin in the book. And it does not stop his love. He does not turn his back on you. He does not stop loving you. He does not stop wanting the best for you. You know, if you know how, you can receive blessing from him and being in sin. May not be long term, but you can if you can believe and tap in the love. Now, you're stupid for doing sin if, you know, But it's possible because of his love. We can't understand it. It doesn't make sense to us because we sure wouldn't treat people the way he does. But he loves us. There should be more of a better word than just love. It just, yeah. Praise God. So we come down to verse 10, our memory verse. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Let's see. In the New King James Version, that there's a phrase in there. It says that we should walk in them, which I forget where I got this from, but it says not be saved by them. Works do not justify, but the justified man works. In Amplified, it says, for we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. So in other words, it's I don't do stuff to get God's approval. I don't have to do stuff to get God's blessing. I am blessed, so I do. I am loved, so I love. I am prosperous, so I give. You know, I am at peace, so I spread peace. You know, whatever. I am, so I do. You know, whatever it is, I am, so I do. It's not I'm trying to get there and then I'll do. No, I am. I am born again. I am healed. I am healthy. I am wealthy. I am wise. I am full of power. I lay hands on the sick and they recover. I am anointed. And whatever is true for me, it's true for you. I don't care what you're called to. I don't care what position you have. Who are you in Christ? That's who you are. And we recognize and we experience and we understand who we are. Then we do. And life keeps getting better and better and better. Praise God. Hallelujah. Open yourself up this morning to experience his love. Because that's what he wants to do this morning. He just wants to love you. Praise God. Hallelujah.